Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Good morning. Thank you, Brian, again for introducing us on this day of affection known as Valentine's Day. Of course, that was the voice of Brian Brown, creator of the Brown Briefly. Every week, we try to live up to his high standards of hosting a discussion of current events laced with empathy, intelligence, humor, and my all-time favorite, progressive persuasion. Brian's concept of less is more, more or less, always left us wanting more. So let's jump right in with friends old and new, Vachon Airport Commissioner, kitchen remodeler, former Army intelligence officer, and recovering back pain patient, Truman O'Brien. Good morning, Truman.
Good morning. I didn't do my show this morning, so I'm fresh in the studio. Wow.
Ho, man. Right, yeah. Ready to get right out of the gate.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. And I do see that your wingman, airplane co-owner, former associate attorney general, and vintage European sports car enthusiast, Craig Bellis, is, as most weeks, seated to your left.
How you doing, Kevin? Good morning, and I'll rein Truman in. He's got so much energy, he's going to start to playing with the board, and things are going to be going up and down.
No doubt about it. That big red switch, man, is going to be going on and off.
All right. Well, if there's caffeine in that cup next to him, make sure to sort of push that off to the side.
Yeah.
Hey, this week we are joined by Small Talk guest and the president of the Vachon Island Rotary Club, James Freund. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome to have you on board. Thank you so much for joining us. Mine is the voice of Kevin Jones, Indivisible Vachon, and the Vachon Climate Action Group, with a couple of announcements to get started. So make sure that you get out your pen and jot this down. Number one, 50 of us Vachon Maury Islanders added names to the Puget Sound Energy Clean Up Your Gas Business letter. Thank you very much. That letter is going to be going out to the Utilities and Transportation Commission today. As we all know from a show ago, Puget Sound Energy is going to reduce their gas, their climate pollution from their gas business by a whopping less than 1% per year over the next three decades. So thank you for signing on to that letter. The other thing I want to make sure you know, please continue to support the environment and the climate by joining the Vachon Maury Community Council meeting 7 p.m. this Thursday, 3 days from now, February 16th, and vote to ask our legislators to support the legislative outcomes identified on the Vachon Maury Environment and Climate Agenda. 10 island groups are striving to achieve legislative outcomes that are on the agenda. You can go to v-mcc.org to find the Zoom link for the meeting, or you can attend in the Land Trust building. Again, that is this Thursday, February 16th at 7 o'clock. The vote is scheduled on the agenda at 8:30, so you can definitely work on island time to get there by, I recommend, by 8. And if you're not registered to vote with the council, do so. Go to v-mcc.org, click contact, and sign up to vote. Okay, public service announcements are over. Let's dive in and see how things are going with y'all on this Valentine's Day. And are there any maybe shout outs for Valentine's Day? Truman, what about you?
To my lovely bride of 52 years, I can say happy Valentine's. I sent her a Valentine card via email, but she somehow didn't get it this morning. I don't know what the deal was. I mean, she sits right behind me on the computer, but it didn't come through. I'm bummed. So it was cute, too.
So you say check your spam folder, is that right?
Yeah, well, she did, but it wasn't there, right? I don't know what's going on.
Okay, well, all can be mended. We have a whole day.
Yeah, we hope.
Yes. We would call out to our guardian of the galaxy, but I think he's in a sort of a lunar eclipse phase right at the moment with field work out in the bush. So we'll catch up with Bruce in another, hopefully, couple weeks. But Craig, meantime, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I want to wish my lovely Lynette a happy Valentine's Day. We've been married for 35 years, so we're trying to still figure out. We're going to go out to dinner and whatnot this evening after our board meeting.
It's next week.
It is next week.
I think so.
Oh, well, then I don't have anything to worry about. Yeah, I keep doing that, you know.
Yeah,
I got to. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's next week.
Well, that's all right.
I'll double check.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I spent this week kind of catching up on my movies for the Academy Awards. I've gotten most of them. I went and saw A Man Named Otto with Tom Hanks, which I thought was a great movie. And I thought it was Tom Hanks at his best, way better than the role he played as Colonel Parker in Elvis, which I thought he was a little miscast in, but that's my own personal opinion. And then last night I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is a wonderfully bizarre movie about the holographic universe and various... Mm. Yeah, it's fantastic, and the acting in it is just tremendous. You're going to jump in?
I was going to jump in and say that I saw one movie.
What did you see?
I saw Tar, and I was very disappointed. I mean, she is absolutely incredibly wonderful. Kate Blanchett.
Right.
Yeah, she is amazing. But what a depressing movie. Oh, my gosh.
Well, there's some out there. There's some. Oh. I saw the Menu the other day, and then the Banshees.
Banshees. Oh my gosh! Oh my god! What is going on with their
but
movies?
But I did have a great day on Sunday before the Super Bowl when I emceed the Paul Caldwell Scholarship Foundation fundraiser at the high school with about 16 singer-songwriters. Just some of the best treasures on the island were there, and it was a great time. The only other thing I did last week was I wished Truman a happy 42nd birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah. 42nd. But that would be nice. I remember 42. Vaguely.
You can remember back that far?
Hey, Hey, by the way, I got a note from Kate. Hey, you're right. The meeting is tonight, not next week.
Okay.
I'm a week off.
All right. All good. Right. For a change.
Yeah.
Okay. And Truman, did I do the math right? Is your age less than the number of years you've been married? I didn't. I'm not sure. All the numbers.
Just a few. Just a few. Okay.
All right. Also, James, thank you again for joining us. Tell us how your week has been.
My week has been great. And I would like to throw out a happy Valentine's Day shout out to my lovely partner, Muna.
Oh, nice.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I will follow the trend here. And Susie, if you're listening, it's been a wonderful 37 years together. We were talking the other day that maybe it was 47. So, but no, only 37. And we've only been on Vashon for 30 years. But it's all been a wonderful opportunity to participate in the lifestyle of our islands. And, of course, sharing a life together is fantastic. Let's see. So speaking of Valentine's Day, I actually have a request. And this request shows that love is timeless and spans across multiple events and is everlasting. This is a request to read a commentary penned by our founder, Brian Brown, regarding a Valentine's Day activism event. And so this is from Brian Brown, a writer and activist who lives on Vashon, according to the Beachcomber. 1 billion rising on Vashon and beyond, one man's effort at solidarity from the sidelines. Join the rising, read the invitation. So my wife, Sheila, and I did. We had to have been the oldest couple who showed up. Our collective age is 152 years. I'm 3 years shy of 80. You do the math on Sheila. Neither of us can resist a good cause. Going back to the civil rights marches and the Vietnam protests of the 60s, not to mention Earth Day, Code Pink, Iraq, and the Occupy movement, this old couple has attempted to walk the talk, as the expression goes. I even attempted to paddle my talk in a kayak as part of the mosquito fleet that protested the Glacier gravel mine 2 years ago. What we've never done before is dance the talk. 1 Billion Rising was a choreographed dance on Valentine's Day by women and the men who love them to shake the planet's complacency and acceptance of violence against females. No more abuses, no more excuses, sang the participants. I see a world where we all live safe and free from all oppression. No more rape or incest or abuse. Women are not a possession. The Vashon Island dancers numbered maybe 200 in all. Not that anyone stood still long enough to actually get an accurate count. Included were little girls and boys no more than 6 or 7 years old, teenagers, young moms, women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and older. Let's not forget the handful of courageous guys who provided gender diversity and brought some good moves to the parking lot in front of U.S. Bank. You go, bro. Any dancer will tell you that the legs are the last thing to go. Well, I'm here to tell you that midway through the Rising's first rehearsal at the Open Space for Arts and Community, I blew out my knee. It was 4 days before the actual Valentine's Day event. It happened like this. Our instructors, Nancy Pete, Sarah Van Fleet, and Julie Gibson, had us dancing pretty much in unison. We were into it. Music blared from the boombox, an upbeat, thumping anthem about women's empowerment. We are mothers. We are teachers. We are beautiful, beautiful creatures. Sheila was on my left, diligently following instructions. I was next to her, relying on osmosis. To my right was an energetic young woman named Annie. In the row ahead was blonde named Roxy. It happened at that moment when we broke the chain. This maneuver required a swivel step as we break repression over our knee. Roxy threw a cute shuffle step into her swivel, and I attempted to emulate. It was Roxy's fault. I limped to the sideline. In my fantasy, I recall the crowd cheering madly as I was carried out of the arena. There on national television, I lift my arm with index finger extended, indicating solidarity with 1 billion women and the men who love them. Truth be told, it was the only position, the extended index finger, I truly mastered in the choreographed dance. 4 days later, my efforts at the O-Space earned me a coveted spot on the wooden bench in front of the hardware store restaurant at the Four Corners, where I watched the surviving dancers in the parking lot of U.S. Bank on Valentine's Day, because I loved, because I dream, because I've had enough to stop the screams. Courtesy of our founder, Brian Brown.
Thank you,
and
Brian.
Recommended by Sheila Brown. Thank you, Sheila, for bringing this to our attention.
That is so beautifully written.
Great.
So, and that was a dance. I didn't see it myself. It was, I don't know the year, out in front of U.S. Bank. So solidarity for women. So carry on, Brian. All right. Unless there's any other comment on that, why don't we dive right into small talk, where Rotary is a 1.4 million strong global network, which started 118 years ago in February of 1905, Valentine's month. Vashon's Rotary started 37 years ago. That's the same number of years I've been married. Wow. Thank you, James Frank, for joining us on Small Talk to discuss the work of the Vashon Island Rotary Sustainability Committee.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and everyone for having me. It's a real pleasure to be able to be an ambassador for the Rotary Club of Vashon. And I'm currently the president of the club. And I'm also a financial advisor at Edward Jones. So I run a local business here on the island too. A little bit about myself. I grew up in the Puget Sound area, and the majority of my immediate family is still here, which is really nice, because spending time with family is important. And also, you know, growing up in this area with amazing natural beauty, I've always been enamored with the natural world and being able to spend time in national forests and national parks. And in fact, that's pretty much what dominates my time away from the office, is making sure that I'm out in these really beautiful places. And so because of that love of the natural world, I always wanted to stay in the area. And I've been fortunate to do that. I went to school at the University of Washington, and that led me into studies of environmental science and forest ecology. And really knowing that I wanted to stay you know, where my near my family and where there was so much natural beauty. Really fortunate to be able to stay in this area. And about 6 years ago, there was an opportunity with Edward Jones to open an office here on Vashon Island. And when I saw that, really, you know, jumped on that opportunity. It's a great community. And so, you know, the rest of history has been here. And so when I first opened up the office, I started attending Chamber of Commerce meetings. And that's where I started to hear about Rotary. Now, I didn't know much about the Vashon Rotary Club at the time. And so I started to attend meetings. And after attending a few meetings, it became really clear that there was a group of very nice, motivated people that were doing really neat community service projects on the island. So that's kind of what led me into Rotary.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you know, so speaking of Rotary and nice folks, for those of our listeners who are not familiar with Rotary, what are the attributes do you think that best describe the members of Rotary? And what are some of the top level goals and objectives of the club?
Yeah, Rotary is a service organization. So the overarching objective of the organization is to promote service as an ideal within the community. And how that gets translated within this global organization is, you know, effectively people who want to do good things in their community, whether that's the global community, regional community, or their local Vashon community. And truly it spans all different types of community service action. So at the global level, our organization has led efforts to eradicate polio, educate children with an emphasis on girls, provide clean drinking water to many areas of the world that don't have clean drinking water, as well as disaster relief. Local and regional initiatives include providing programs to provide music and sing-alongs for individuals with dementia and Alzheimer's, and supporting the Alzheimer's Association. And then locally here on Vashon, our group, you know, participates in a number of different types of projects that tutor third and fifth graders, provide high school scholarships, support youth and family services, the food bank, the senior center. So really it's a group of people that want to do good in the community. And so we hold this ideal of service above self. And that really is what defines our club.
Well, you know, I think you're talking to several folks who share that ideal. Truman, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can remember several years ago, you folks sent some people down to Central America, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which country, but part of the water project that you folks were working on. And I remember speaking with some of those folks, and they were just really gung-ho about the efforts that this club put into it and Rotary International did for that water issue.
Yeah, exactly. I believe that was a project in Guatemala.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. And so we have various committees within the club that, you know, if they have interests in international projects, they can participate in that way. If they would prefer to participate more in local projects, we've got avenues for that type of service. But it's a group of good people. They just want to do good in the world. We value fellowship and friendship and fairness. And so, Craig.
Yeah, I was looking at your website this morning and noticed all the different things that you've got yourselves involved in, which are wonderful. One of the local ones that caught my attention was Music Men's, I think. Can you tell us quickly what that is?
Yes, that's right. We have several Rotarians that champion this program. It's called Music Men's Minds. And in essence, it's a sing-along at the senior center for people experiencing dementia or Alzheimer's. And the way that music works on the brain is a bit different than speech. Mm-hmm. And so you can really, you know, anecdotally, you can see the difference when you participate in singing along and hearing music And so this program is just a wonderful addition. I think there's quite a bit of research coming out now, too, about the music effect on the brain.
And that is huge. I was formerly on the board of the Vashon Community Care, and Amy Huggins, a wonderful individual here on the island, began the program there at VCC. And she would take a little iPad or something, and with headphones, and to some individuals who had severe dementia, I mean Alzheimer's patients who were basically nonverbal, and would put those headphones on them and get music started, and they would begin singing along with the music. It was absolutely astounding to see. And they would have the biggest smiles on their faces. It was a wonderful program. We really, really admire her for that work.
Absolutely. Amy Huggins deserves huge credit for that. She is the champion of the program here. Absolutely. But we also have several other members that participate in those Tuesday sing-alongs. So that's one of the neat projects that we've got going on currently.
Nice. Well, you were mentioning earlier that water project, and of course, to just put some dots together, we know that disruption in Central American countries is severe, and so the efforts to try to stabilize and provide service and real essentials to the residents there can help reduce the amount of those folks leaving and fleeing, you know, for a better life in other places, which of course creates tremendous immigration and disruption pressures. So, thank you so much for helping to focus on some of those really big issues that face us these days. Why don't we shift gears to the Environmental Sustainability Committee? I'm very interested to hear more broadly about the climate work that you're doing.
Yeah, so we're really proud of this. So last year, our club had a strategic plan that we initiated, and what emerged from that strategic planning session were really areas of focus that we wanted to participate over the next several years. One of those areas was environmental sustainability broadly, and that's a pretty big category. But what that did was it allowed for the creation of a sustainability committee within our club, and that's currently chaired by Steve Bergman. And so he can lead a subgroup of members to come up with sustainability projects. Now, we've always been a club that has participated in various environmental projects over the years, but I would say moving forward, we're going to have a little more focus on that. But we've supported restoration efforts by the Land Trust several times. We've supported the whole Vashon project with increasing awareness about climate change and sustainability issues. We've encouraged local businesses to put up signage as it relates to their participation in environmental sustainability. We've participated in beach cleanups and, again, restoration efforts with the Land Trust. So I think really we're just getting going. I think we also have members that help with the local plastic and styrofoam recycling. So there really is a focus here within the club to do that. And I think that now that we've formalized the part of the club that does that, I think we're going to be doing great things in the future.
Fantastic. Well, as you probably well know, Zero Waste Vashon, of which Steve Bergman is also a member of, is represented on that environment and climate agenda. And for those paying attention to checking out the Beachcomber letter column, Steve wrote a very nice letter asking people to show up at the community council meeting and support that. So now you hear how all these threads come together through organizations like Rotary to help make good things happen on the island. We also noticed that you have a focus on affordable housing. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, that's the second area of focus that emerged from our strategic plan. And again, a pretty big issue, I think, you know, especially in this region, especially on the island, you know, that affordable housing is an issue. And Rotary really wants to be a connector between people and organizations that are working on this particular issue. So we've had speakers from Vashon Household come to provide information at our club. And so we're currently trying to figure out how we can better participate in that particular area. But it is something that people care about and they value. And so we want to make sure that that's a focus for us moving forward. On a more granular level, Rotary has what's called a district project to build tiny homes for people experiencing homelessness. And that's a project where on Saturdays and Sundays, once a month, Rotarians go over to Seattle to build tiny homes. And so also, you know, participating in the housing issue there. But absolutely, we're looking forward to really partnering with other people and groups to come up with solutions.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I will mention that I had the pleasure of meeting Osha Christensen I think it was a Vashon Social Services Network meeting. And Osha, I discovered, is also supporting Vashon Household and working on affordable housing issues. And so she and Jason Johnson are going to come and join us on the Briefly on April 25th. So listeners, if you want to hear more about affordable housing, tune in on that particular episode. All right. Let's see. So it sounds like you definitely have a lot going on. What is the best way for listeners to get in touch with Rotary, get involved in some of the projects you're talking about? And I think you have like regular meetings. We already mentioned a website. What's the best way to move forward?
The best way is to join us at one of our weekly meetings. So we meet on Thursdays from 11:45 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Chautauqua Middle School. And guests are welcome. So those meetings are open to the public. We also have hybrid meetings via Zoom. And so that's really the best way to learn about what we're doing and how to get involved in the projects that we want to support.
Okay, so that was Thursdays at 11:45, right? And to join by Zoom, how would somebody find the Zoom link for that?
The Zoom link is on our website. And that is VashonRotaryClub.org.
Okay, fantastic. I have actually been invited to one of the Vashon Rotary meetings. I did attend. We talked about climate issues. I was very, very happy to find myself in good company. So for those who are really interested in devoting some time and energy to improving that aspect of our lives on Earth, I do encourage your attendance. Truman.
Yeah, just one quick thing, and let's just say thanks. Several years ago, while I was involved with Vashon Community Care, the Rotary honored me with the Paul Harris Award, and I was very, very appreciative and thank the group very much for that. It really meant a lot to me, and I was recruited heavily to join Rotary at that time, but since I've been so busy with my other activities that I've not participated, but I do appreciate it. So
we appreciate you.
Thanks.
James, you indicated that everybody was invited to those meetings. What about actually joining Rotary? What does one need to do, or what prereqs are there to that?
Well, there is an application process to start. You would want to attend at least two meetings, and then you would submit an application. And we have those forms that we would provide you at that time. And that's really the process. So join us for some meetings, and then we can share that application form with you and then move from there with membership.
Okay, good.
Fantastic. All right. I will also just go back to something, James, that you mentioned a little bit earlier with Whole Vashon Project. And I had a chance to meet Ron D. Lightmark several years ago and have been kind of keeping informed about the progress of Whole Vashon Project. I think I'm now considered officially part of their group of activists who are working to advance those causes. But I had always been amazed that Rondi had secured funding to put full-page ads in the Beachcomber, I think once a month for a year. And I heard that Rotary was behind that funding. So much appreciate that. And so, again, another good example of good work done. I don't know if there's other areas of investment that Rotary's making along those lines. Anything you can tell us?
All types of projects, Kevin. You know, we are pretty much a service organization, so we really want to use our time and talent where we can. But we do support the high school scholarship program. And when there are rapid community needs, we try and put our efforts behind fundraising for different organizations. So Home to Vashon, which provides ferry tickets for people who need to go off island for medical visits. That's a program run through Youth and Family Services. That's something that we also support. Various programs through the Senior Center. We've supported programs through the Senior Center, and you know, through our recent fundraising in the fall through Harvest Against Hunger, we'll be providing a roughly $700 check to our Vashon Food Bank to support the efforts that they're doing. So really, there's a multitude of things that we are happy to be participating in and providing monetary support.
Fantastic. Yeah, Craig.
Just as a last point, some of us are in the studio, as you pointed out, Kevin, at the very beginning, and some of us are on Zoom, so we can see one another, whereas our listeners have to imagine what we look
yes.
like. And I was happy that James clarified the fact that he was at work and didn't get his tie on for us, because you can see we're a pretty scruffy group. but we are honored that I thought, boy, you got dressed up for us. No,
yeah,
that's
no.
good that you didn't get dressed up for us. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, James is definitely the more formally attired of us, but you do have a business to run and lots of other volunteer activities that you're involved with. So I can totally understand that. Had a quick audio adjustment here. So let's see, James, you're very welcome to join us for the rest of the show. But as aforementioned, I know you're a busy, busy person on Vashon. So if you want to take your leave, thank you again for being here. I do hope you'll stay on board and join the rest of the conversation. Now we're going for another half an hour.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Local news. It sure sounds like COVID is still around. Headlines in the Beachcomber, more than 15% of those who attended the Vashon High School snowball dance have now contracted COVID. That was as of a week ago. Not sure what the numbers might be now. I wonder how many folks do the Briefleys know who currently have COVID? What kind of numbers are you hearing?
You know, I personally don't know anyone who has COVID, but I'll tell you the other nasty that's going around is this RSV, this upper respiratory thing. And I've had that. My wife still has it. And it is, I think it's almost worse than COVID, for crying out loud. It is horrible.
I agree. In answer to your question, Kevin, I probably right now know about three or maybe four people who have COVID. But I know more people who have this respiratory. I was going to meet a former Islander who was coming in for lunch today, and he sent me a message this morning, and he goes, boy, I've got this really bad thing in my chest. And then I had an appointment this afternoon with a contractor who was going to come over and spend my money. he had the same thing. So that is a nasty.
It's a bad one. Yeah. Boy. And I do know one person who just tested positive. I saw him at the airport the other day, and when I got to within about 30 feet of him, he said, "I need to shout." You shouted out, "I need to tell you, I tested positive. So I feel good, but I tested." So I stayed that 30 feet and walked way around.
Was that at the airport? He probably cleared the room.
Probably cleared. No, he was outside.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I'm at a record number of knowing people who have really? COVID right at the moment. I do have some colleagues who, you know, have been careful about travel, but nonetheless, you know, the one woman in particular has traveled to Hawaii and to the East Coast. They have a house in Maine and so on. And surprisingly, she has only come down with COVID once over the last 2 or 3 years. But right now, yeah, I think it's like 3 or 4 that I personally know. And so for me, that's like a new awareness because up until now, you know, my friends and family have been pretty COVID free. I do have to say that I had 2 events at the library meeting room last week. And I was really wondering, you know, given the news, is it appropriate to go ahead and cancel those in-person meetings? But I was happy to see that a lot of Vashon, Maury Islanders are definitely COVID and RSV aware. A lot of folks showed up with masks. So just a public service announcement. You know, it's still there. Still be aware. So, okay. Unless there's any other commentary on viruses that affect our lives, maybe we can move on to state issues. So this has actually been on my list for a little while. Attacks on our power grid. So historically, the lights went dark on Christmas Day for 14,000 customers in Washington state after 4 Tacoma public utilities and Puget Sound Energy substations were vandalized. So you've probably heard about this on the news, and you may or may not have heard that this is, in my opinion, from the You Can't Make This Stuff Up department. In February, 3 domestic extremists pleaded guilty to a plot to shut down parts of the nation's power system to sow unrest and cause a race war. So our historian is not here with us, but Truman, you worked as an Army intelligence officer.
I did.
What's the logic behind the idea of a power outage causing a race war? What are your thoughts about that?
That is beyond the pale in my experience. I just cannot even fathom the whole idea of this. The whole idea of taking out power grid and infrastructure is not a new thing. However, that's been a major endeavor since World War I or before, I would think. In fact, if you notice, the Russians are doing it right now in Ukraine. The same idea. It's used to demoralize the general public and cause and it can also cause disruptions of the military significance as well. But yeah, I'm not aware of a race war starting from that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kevin, this is a classic accelerationist philosophy that there will be race wars as we get further along devolve as opposed to evolve as a culture, one of the ways to do that is to break down that infrastructure. To give a plug to one of our guests from a month ago or so, Mike Witt, the president of Vashon Sportsman's Club, who's written now 2 books on Vashon and an EMP event where all the electricity was taken out by a high altitude bomb. When society can break down quickly, we walk a tightrope. The things that bind us together for some people aren't going to do it. I mean, there's many of us who will, you know, cleave to one another and help one another, but there are many who will not and will take advantage of the situation. And I think that's what people who are dissatisfied with their lot in life or dissatisfied with our current government are looking for a good reason to cause chaos.
So. Mm-hmm. So that even just sort of the you know, the small talk discussion with Rotary and reaching out, building strength in our community, bringing people together, right? Maybe that's one of those sort of cures to maybe keep us on the evolutionary path and not the devolutionary path. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, you know, kudos to the Rotary and to those service organizations that do that. I mean, it's amazing. But,
Well, I do have to shout out to the Vashon Social Services Network, which through my involvement now with the Equity, Social Justice, Inclusion Committee of the Vashon Mori Community Council, if you got all that, invited me to one of their monthly meetings. And I can tell you that I am not surprised, but totally impressed with the work of many, many groups on Vashon working to build that safety net to keep us all tied together and working productively. And help and reach out to others who may not have the benefits that some of us have. So it just goes on and on, the depth of care that community members are providing on Vashon. Truman.
Yeah, it's like really, I was one of the founding members of that social services network, and I can tell you that it was very difficult to get the organization started. Everyone wanted to do something, but it was really difficult to figure out a way that we could all work together toward a common cause. And it took literally a year before we were able to gel into a group that had enough autonomy that they could do things. I mean, it was really an interesting process, but I'm really pleased with the results over the years. So
I'd say as well you should be. So yeah. I was afforded a warm welcome, and we're going to be talking about whether some member of the committee will choose to routinely spend time in those meetings. That's just great. To make sure that we have good relationships, good liaison. Good. All right. Well, hey, I got to ask what y'all thought of the Super Bowl last weekend. I assume some of us might have spent a little time in front of the TV watching it. Any feedback from Super Bowl fans?
Sure. I caught the halftime show and the second half. Any game that you know swings back and forth with Philadelphia having been ahead for the whole first half and then Kansas City coming back is an exciting game. My wife kept asking me, "Who are you rooting for?" And I said, "Well, I think it's whoever is
who's
down.
Winning? Who's
no,
winning?
No, whoever's down. I'm always rooting for the underdog." You know, a lot of controversy, of course, about calls by the refs. But what else is new? But I thought it was interesting. You know, I have to just to harken back to the Caldwell fundraiser, scholarship fundraiser. You know, Paul either participated in or produced four of the Super Bowl halftime shows.
Really?
Yes. Yes. He was in the 10th. He was, because he's one of the co-founders of Up Up With People. And they put on the whole show in the 10th Super Bowl.
For crying out loud. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yep.
Well, I did watch the whole game. I watched all the ads. I watched the halftime show. I watched the whole darn thing. I can't believe I did that. But great ads as always. Of course, I'm going to forget the sponsor, but I love the ad. I'll think of it here in a minute. But anyway, the halftime show, I was really impressed. I didn't particularly like the music, but boy, the whole performance was amazing, I thought, anyway.
Nice production, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm wondering. I'm wondering if the Mahomes limping off the field at the end of the first half was a head fake.
Yeah.
To try to, do you think maybe that was going on?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw that when they rolled up on his ankle, that was pretty real, I think.
When you saw that in slow-mo, I thought for sure he had popped an Achilles.
Yeah.
You know, it worked out. I'm not sure why he probably shot him up with something like the shot you got in your back.
I'm sure they did. Yeah, I was thinking that at the time. I thought, well, if they gave him the same stuff they gave me, he's going to be out there playing, no problem.
But, well, and yeah, during the second half, some of those quarterback runs that he made, of course, they also panned his face and you could see the grimace. So a lot of sacrifice going on there but I guess in the end, he's got a Super Bowl ring.
You know, I'll tell you what, I've watched Super Bowls in the past that were just absolutely boring. I mean, the whole game was the only thing to watch was the ads, you know. And this one was an exciting game. Mm-hmm. It was really good. I enjoyed it. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, likewise. All right, well, let's move on to other national events. And I would just have to say, yikes, former Vice President Mike Pence has been now subpoenaed to testify before the January 6th insurrection investigation being carried out by Mr. Smith at the Department of Justice. Hey, Craig, what's your take on this latest turn of the screws on the former administration?
That's the way it's done. You start out at the bottom of the pyramid and work your way up to the top. That's what's going on. The former vice president is going to, I heard this morning, is not going to show up.
He's going to fight it.
Yeah, he's going to fight it based on... on
executive privilege.
Yeah, on executive privilege, which is pretty much a losing argument, but it will delay the matter somewhat. But I think that they'll probably get a quick ruling on that because of the Nixon case, which really just hit this on the head many years ago.
I do have a really dumb question, I think, Craig. They keep talking about the difference between a subpoena from the January 6th committee versus a DOJ subpoena, and how the DOJ one is much more stringent. So what's the difference? I mean, I don't understand.
Well, the difference really, I mean, there's a lot of differences, but the major difference is that the Congress has to go through more steps to get it enforced. Whereas DOJ, Congress has to go to DOJ almost to get it enforced, and then they go to court. But the Department of Justice can do it more quickly. And enforce it. You don't mess around with a grand jury subpoena.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Pence, former Vice President Pence, is asserting his illustrious role as the president of the Senate as his rationale, I understand, for having some executive privilege. So
yeah, anything involving discussions about what's going on in government, but that doesn't apply to people who are engaged in criminal activities.
This is a related subject, but not directly. I'm curious about the release of the grand jury information from the Georgia, the election. Fraud deal there, and understand they're going to release three portions: the introduction, the conclusion, and something about people potentially lying to the DOJ. I mean, to the committee. So what's the deal with that? I mean, why are they releasing that? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't actually. I have to admit, I am not up on that. Maybe Kevin is. I do know that the Attorney General,
Yeah, she was wanting to fight it.
She's fighting it. Yeah, mm-hmm. she did not want any of it released for fear that it would affect the investigation and charges of other individuals.
Right.
But I do not know exactly what the theory was
for the
release of that.
That'd be Attorney General Fannie Willis you're referring to.
Right. Yeah.
A black woman who I can't remember the name of the county right now, the only thing that I heard about that was that the news media is clamoring to have the information released, and you can see their particular interest in having content that they can put out. And of course, you mentioned the Attorney General saying, "Hey, let's protect the integrity of some of the people that might be named in that document," haven't we heard enough stories about people who are possible witnesses being intimidated by those who are potentially being charged? And some of those intimidation can be literally life-threatening and very serious. So yeah, I kind of side with where the AG is coming from.
This is a classic example of how the interests of various parties in a criminal prosecution or investigation differ dramatically. Obviously, the defendant and defense counsel have a particular interest in the adversary system. The prosecutor has an interest. The FBI or the police have an interest. The court has an interest. And the press have an interest. And they all differ.
Yes.
So.
And so the joy of being in your former position of having to sort of referee all of those interests. Thank you. We respect it. All right. Well, I would like to, unless there's any further discussion on that, I would like to kind of harken back to you're never a former briefly, but you're never necessarily actively engaged. But Michael Shook had sort of shook us up with some announcements he'd made on nominations regarding himself.
And last
time we had we were hoping he might announce for running for president as Nikki Haley has now done.
Yes.
But Michael declined. I think he's probably got some gardening priorities. But I have a nomination to make, and it doesn't have to do with me. personally, but let me go ahead and just play this audio, and then I'll let you know what's behind my nomination.
I am absolutely committed, as I said last night, as I said just now to my colleagues, that we must go forward based on truth. We cannot both embrace the big lie and embrace the Constitution. And going forward, the nation needs it. The nation needs a strong Republican Party. The nation needs a party that that is based upon fundamental principles of conservatism. And I am committed and dedicated to ensuring that that's how this party goes forward. And I plan to lead the fight to do that. I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office. We have seen the danger that he continues to provoke with his language. We have seen his lack of commitment and dedication to the Constitution. And I think it's very important that we make sure whomever we elect is somebody who will be faithful to the Constitution.
Okay. So that little first bit about the Republican Party, I forgot to edit that out. But the second bit about her commitment to make sure that we have qualified people, I'm going to formally suggest that former House Representative Liz Cheney, who's kind of wondering probably what to do next now that she's not in office, I would nominate her for Assistant U.S. District Attorney.
Ooh.
And make sure that she has an opportunity to be right in there with Merrick Garland to make sure that justice is done. I don't know. Any thoughts about that nomination?
Would that be a political appointment?
I would say it would add some bipartisan depth to the bench.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We've seen her in action over the last couple of years. I wouldn't be adverse to that at all. And I've known a few assistant attorney generals that she would be much superior to.
Anybody come to mind?
Were you not an assistant attorney general for the state?
No, we're talking a state attorney, attorney, but not a federal. Yeah. So, the other issue that I thought was kind of interesting, Kevin, is we're getting closer and closer to an indictment or indictments of the former president, and I have predicted long. For over a year now, that he will be indicted and will be tried. I have a feeling these are all going to come down like dominoes. New York,
Georgia.
Georgia and the new special, consul. They'll be fast and furious. And then the question is, what does that all mean? You know, how long will it be before there's a trial? In some of these matters, the trial wouldn't be for a year or two. But the fact that he's announced that he's running for president is not a handicap to bringing these actions, I think they will proceed.
There's an interesting theory that came out, and I think Pomerantz maybe was the investigator who quit the Southern District of New York's case on Trump and his fraud of property valuations. And his book sort of advances a theory of what it is, my understanding, I think I'm using the right language here, but correct me, Craig, if I'm wrong. It is up to the attorney general to decide not only the merits of a case, the evidence attaining to the case, and they still have prudence over whether they elect to go forward with the case. And there's Pomerantz, if I understand right, in his book, he points out that right now in the cases regarding former officials like former president and vice president, there's a fair amount of consideration over whether the case can be won or lost. And some point out that that same level of introspection oftentimes does not attend legal matters against other people who have not held as lofty a position as the former president. I'm curious what your take is on that.
Well,
what sort of build is not equal justice? What do you think?
Well, the prosecutors at all levels have to engage in cost-benefit analysis. I mean, they have limited budgets. They have limited personnel. They are not required to bring a charge or an indictment or to proceed on an indictment against anyone. And the law that generally, as we found out in the in some of these recent cases, like the one in Memphis, the individuals have the most discretion in terms of ending or starting a criminal prosecution are the police. They can ignore whatever's going on. Then there comes the prosecutors, right. And they'll weigh the evidence and ask themselves whether or not they can win or lose this case. And they have discretion. And then once the charges have been filed, then it's pretty much there's still discretion to resolve the case in terms with a plea bargain or something like that. But it becomes harder and harder to do so. But this fear about losing the case against former President Trump seems like a red herring to me. He has not won a case that we've seen here in the last 4 or 5 or 6 years. I mean, you can't lose a case. You cannot lose a case against him.
So I'm curious about one thing. I mean, I understand that the AG has got discretion, but if the grand jury comes back and recommends an indictment, he still has... The AG still has jurisdiction over that? I mean, he still has the decision on that?
He does.
Hmm.
Yep.
Even though they may recommend...
No, that's more of a what do you call it? Something to cover the prosecutors. Because they're oftentimes appointed. Like, for example, U.S. attorneys are all appointed.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Have a neutral body that's reviewing the evidence that the... Now, the prosecutor generally isn't going to bring a matter before a grand jury unless he or she intends to pursue it. So,
Okay. But I see what you're saying. It gives them cover. If the grand jury recommends an indictment, then they can choose to do that or not. And they use... their recommendation is cover for them. Saying,
well,
gee, it wasn't
my
idea.
I hesitate to imply, cover in a nefarious sense.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Well, hey, we shouldn't miss the opportunity. We have at least two aviators here with us today. And the news is full of commentary about Chinese spy balloons and other unknown devices that have now been shot down over the continental Northern America, right, Canada and the United States. And one of the commentaries goes that, well, there's all kinds of stuff flying around up there. So how likely is it that an airplane's actually going to hit one of those things? And is it worth the, millions of dollars that it takes to get an F-22 up to shoot it down? Aviators, tell us, what do you think? Are we doing the right thing?
Anything that's 40,000 or lower needs to be either identified or somehow, if there's not a radar return on it, which there probably isn't in those things, you need to be able to warn commercial air traffic that thing's there. I mean, the airplanes that I flew, the maximum altitude on those was 41,000 feet. So anything that's above that, the only people you have to worry about there primarily are some commercial aircraft, but mostly it's corporate aircraft that are going to be up there or military. But
I think the truth is out there somewhere.
As long as they don't shoot back. I mean,
That's right. Although I did get everybody is curious about this one. The balloon that's cylindrical shaped.
Or octagonal, the one that's over Lake Superior.
Octagonal. I thought that was interesting. One of them, I think, may be an Oscar Mayer Wiener balloon or something.
Macy's Day Parade kind of comes to mind.
got away from them, Well, someone did ask me if one of these Mylar balloons could go that high, and basically the answer is no. It would explode before it got that high. In fact, we found one at our crash site, didn't we?
We did. There was a weather balloon.
No, it was a Mylar, just a Mylar.
Oh, no, it wasn't a weather balloon. It was a birthday party balloon.
Yeah, Mylar balloon.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw one when you were in midair, is that
there,
right?
No, on the ground. There was nothing there. Except for this, the remnants of this balloon.
Yeah, we're out in the middle of
And the wreckage of our airplane.
And our airplane, yeah. But,
during the big event, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We found a Mylar balloon out there, deflated, of course. Yeah, amazing, huh?
Should have brought it home as a souvenir.
Should have, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do know that from my limited time at Boeing, well, years, decades at Boeing, but limited time working with the commercial airplane folks, that, you know, those engines are tested for, you know, inhaling, ingesting certain objects because bird strikes, of course, are an issue at takeoff and landing. So, yeah, hard to know, right, how much damage. It sounds like these items are pretty large. And it seems like they would be quite damaging if an airplane were to hit one of them.
I can give you a firsthand report. I once hit a goose with a wingtip in the middle of the night, and I heard a loud thump and felt it, and you know, felt it throughout the airplane. And I thought our flight attendant had dropped something heavy in the galley, but once we got on the ground, a fellow that had been riding in the emergency exit came up and said, "Hey, you guys hit a goose out there on final." And I went out and looked at the wingtip, and boy, it was damaged. I grounded the airplane.
Adventures in air travel.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Well, hey, let's move to closure here. I do want to quickly mention next week's Small Talk guest, Jessica Anikar, who joined us a couple weeks ago, of the Vashon-Maury Community Council board member, and James Ricard, Equity, Social Justice, Inclusion Committee member. They will be joining us to talk about the work they've done to propose a land acknowledgement for the Community Council. So until then, for James, Bruce, Truman, and Craig, I am Kevin Jones. Hoped you will tune in next Tuesday for the next edition of the Brown Briefly.
Thanks a lot.
See you later. Thank you. Bye now.